Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall is celebrating their 80th anniversary the only way they know how, with huge savings. Shop over 800 of your favorite Chevys, Buicks, GMCs, and Cadillacs and see why bigger selection means more ways to save. Four iconic brands under three rooftops with over 22 acres of GM inventory. Plus, every new vehicle comes with Edmore's mobile service, top-tier service, at your door, on your time. Don't miss the 80th anniversary sale at Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com, where you're always backed by Morse.
Hey, welcome back to Out to Pasture, Joe and Joe Rose, Kim Bocamper. It's kind of the dead time of the football season.
Right around the corner now, though.
You know, OTAs are over, mini camps are over, guys are taking vacations, coaches are on vacation, and so I think it's a good time for us just to kind of take an overall snapshot of the Miami Dolphins and what we're expecting to see and what we hope to see. And what some of the people think, that some of the things that we're hearing people talk about this football team.
Yeah, there's a lot to digest. Excuse me. We had a lot to talk about over the last few weeks, and everybody out there's got a little different opinion. Hey, man, this thing is a brand-new GM, brand-new head coach, brand-new philosophy on both sides of the football. And, you know, Bo, for me, it starts with I call them the 21 draft picks. Yeah. 13 last year, 8 the year before. Yeah. And find out developing them in your system offensively and defensively. Find out what you have. I think the attitude, the effort, all those things are going to be great. I think they got a real nice coaching staff. Yeah. Hired a few guys, kept a few guys from the last coaching staff of Mike McDaniel. But for me, Bo, it starts with that.
Yeah.
Not to mention the core six, I call them, that they kept. Yeah. Hopefully Jordan Brooks gets that contract done. That's really important because –
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I hope so. I think he's had some offers, not happy, but hopefully they can find something.
Yeah.
He's that important to this team. He was a leader during the crap last year, the good, the bad. He was there. He leads the league in the fundamental of football, tackling. He was the best at it last year.
And leadership. I just saw a thing that rated him one of the top 10 linebackers in the league.
And he didn't need anybody to tell you that.
Certainly deserves that. And, you know, one thing I remember about him last year, we're in Atlanta, and they're backed up. And they run some play, and he just blitzes through the and just blew the play up.
Yeah.
Dropped the guy for about, it may have been a safety. I don't know if it was a safety or
a lot of tackles for loss.
But anyway, the impact, and I was on the sideline, and that ignited that whole football team. First series, first defensive series, he makes that play, and you could see everybody's level just go up. Their intensity level go up. And it's hard to find a guy like that plays the way he does, and it has that gravitas on a football team.
He's a physical guy, which is, by the way, is what they're talking about. We got to be more physical. And it starts, Bo, you always say this, starts on the line of scrimmage on both sides. Finding a starting five and some key backups on the offensive line and finding a front starting inside where you can stop the run between the tackles and then get better on the outside, which, you know, to be determined at that position. But, well, they got a lot of guys, man. Yeah. And we're going to find out this first class of this coaching staff and front office is very important. We're going to play a lot of those guys.
Yeah. So for all intents and purposes, John Eric Sullivan, his job is done to this point. Now, obviously, there's going to be the roster changes and a thing going, but for the most part, you know, he drafted the people he want. He got rid of the people that they needed to get rid of to clear the cap space. So his job for, you know, 80, maybe 70% of it is done. He'll be working during the season. But let's talk about Jeff Hafley. Jeff is the guy now that's got to take what he's got and make this a football team. And look, we all know that there are a lot of holes on this football team. You got a handful of really good players, and some that you hope become better players than they've been. But this is going to be a difficult job for him under trying circumstances. Because look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't expect him to win a lot of games. I really don't. I would love to have him win a lot of games. I would love to have him shock me. But I just don't think that's in the cards. But I think what are you looking for from his football team at week 16, whether whatever our record is or whatever, what would you like to have seen from day one until that?
It's a great question. Point. Let's start a quarterback. Yeah. I would love to find out that Malik Willis is a quarterback. Yeah. And I know it's not going to be easy because I don't know what he's got to throw to right now. And the rookie class, you know, they can develop later. The guy they expect to be the best, probably not going to play at least half the season. So you know that. So let's start with that. Well, I'll tell you what, Bo, if we find out, and he looks whether they win four games, five games, six games. We find out, wow, he's shown me he can. We get more around him, he can be the guy. So I want to start with that one. And then
So you're saying we'd like to be New England with Drake May, seeing him year one and saying, hey, that team's not very good, but they got a quarterback.
They won four games.
We'd like to be sitting in that position at week 16.
I remember sitting at Hard Rock Stadium. Yep. They win four games during the year, and I go, man, he's got a bad offensive line. He didn't have much to throw to on the outside, and they got a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they got a guy that looks like he's going to be around for a long, long time. We can find out Malik can play. Hey, just think what it frees up for the next draft and not to have to worry about that. I start with that. And then, hey, Bo, it's development. It's finding out this year how many guys can play. There's going to be some band-aids. I agree with you. There's going to be some positions where we're going, ooh, we got to upgrade it. And that's why next year, taking this big cap hit, we're going to have money for free agency. We have money for draft. And all those holes, and I hope we don't have as many as we could. The secondary, do we have enough? We're going to find out. Pass rusher, I got to find out. A number one wide receiver and a solid number two wide receiver. Do we have it? You know, right now we don't have it.
So right now we're probably starting off with a number three guy is our number one guy. And then going down like after Tutu Atwells and all these guys that have been three guys. And so... And then you look at the secondary again. You got, is it going to be Dante Trader is going to step up? Michael Taffy?
Marshall.
Is it going to be Storm Duck? I mean, you know, Marshall. All these guys, you know, Chris Johnson, you hope is a guy that can come in and you can plug and play and may let him make his, you know, let him learn how to play the game.
Well, they are.
And let him play as many plays as you can and get him solidified for next year. But then the rest of that secondary, it's a bunch of guys, Ethan Bonner, who knows who's going to fill out that roster.
We need those guys. A lot of them got hurt last year. You got to stay healthy, man. It's one thing, bad play, and it's another if you can't play. And development comes by bad play becoming good play and going from there. Hey, Bo, those number one picks, especially the first two in the first round on the line, and as you said, in the cornerback or slot position, they're going to play. They're going to start. And we're going to have growing pains probably a little bit. Although I expect them both to be really good.
I think
Caden Proctor is going to be. I've been telling everybody, don't worry about Caden Proctor.
Don't worry about him. And I'm happy with where they've got Caden Proctor right now. They're going to put him playing the guard. He's not going to be a guard for long.
No.
You know, I mean, with
that's
he
not
probably,
long term.
Probably the next year he's going to be over in the right tackle. But as a rookie coming in the first year, you got Paul on one side, you got Aaron Brewer on the other side that can babysit with that guy. All he's got to do is, you know, I've been watching the soccer thing. You got to be like a goalie. You got to just get big. You got to play big. You got to get a big body out there. Just play big and stop what's coming your way.
And, Bo, think about the security blankets on both sides.
Yeah.
Two good guys to learn from that are playing at a really high level. And for him to step in there, he's a big guy. I don't see guys running him over. That's a big, big man. I think, first of all, I want to see what he looks like coming back at and get rid of that knock of you give this guy time off, he's heavy. I think it's really important day one of rookie camp. I believe the 21st, 22nd, that guy's got his weight down and ready to go. We're going to find out how serious he is about football on that day.
So one thing that if this offensive line plays out the way I think you and I feel that it could play out, it's going to benefit Malik Willis. With the receiver core that's kind of going to be, you know, a patchwork receiver core, he's got that running ability, and you got those guys up front there that can create room even in the passing game where you find a little space between those big guys and see where you run, and that may be advantageous for that part of the offense with Malik for Malik.
More than just talking about the wide receivers, getting back to Malik Willis and his running backs. It's having an offensive line that can block.
I
think that's the biggest thing. If he's got five guys to block, he's going to be a better thrower. Yep. He's going to have more time to find guys open. The running game for Achan and the things you can do once Achan gets running. You know, I'm listening to everybody all offseason about how bad the offensive line was last year. I don't know where you rank it, Bo. All I know is Achan averaged 5.7 yards per carry and was fifth in the league in rushing. in yards.
Yeah.
Not to mention the number one pass receiver. So, hey, I think this group's got a chance to be better than last year's group. Yeah. Austin Jackson's got to stay healthy.
Got to.
And from there, I just think off what Achane can do and what they can put together for Slowik and the game plan and have put together a game plan, I think it could be really fun to watch our quarterback take off and run. He can run.
And I think the offensive line, Joe, you know, the key to the offensive line to me is Austin Jackson. It's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Got to play games.
Huge.
Because, you know, and then everything else hopefully falls into place.
He should be motivated. He's still a young guy. There's another good paycheck for him out there, and he knows that. I think he wants – and look, nobody wants to get injured, but we need him to stay healthy. You know, we see him with the toe in the off season here and not being able to do a lot. Hopefully these 6 weeks off, he comes back and he's ready to go because we need him at right tackle. He can be a really good right tackle.
So talking about coaching Bobby Slowik, the offensive coordinator, I'm interested to see what offense he runs.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I agree. You know, he's gonna steal a little bit from Mike McDaniel. You know, from what he's
Mike
done
did
because
some good
Mike's
things.
A, you know, he's a very good play designer.
Yeah,
maybe not just play caller, but I think he designs some creative plays, and I think Bobby Slowik has been around with him at that time enough to so he'll feed off that and then put his 2 cents into it. And
so he did some good things.
I'm interested to see what this offense is going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It should probably going to have to be run dominant, right?
I think so. Yeah. Until we find out what we have on the outside. Yeah. You want a control passing game, in my opinion, things that we can get rid of the ball and get it to guys. And as you get better and more comfortable and everything gets better in front of you, then you can do more things and add more things onto this offense.
Jeff Hafley, he's going to run that defense.
He is.
So he's going to be the guy.
He's going to be calling
the defenses and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think he's excited about it. And from everything I've gleaned from him, he's going to run some multiple fronts. But I think basically it's going to be a 4-man, which plays into the Dolphins' last draft and where we got on the defensive front. Kenneth Grant, you got Biggers, you got Phillips, and you still got Zach Sealer.
Yeah.
And you know, you put those four guys there. That's a 4-man line.
They're gonna be a lot better than last year.
A big guy, and we saw Grant's more physical and in better shape than he was last year. And that's not a critique on these guys because you're a rookie in this league. You've played your whole college football season. Then you're going out to get training for the combine, and you get no time off. So now they've got time off to get healthy again, get their bodies in the shape. Phillips looks great. Phillips looked great all the time during.
Yeah.
He was busting, almost busting the.
No, he looks great.
The blocking. He and Trader
came in like it was ready. They were ready for September. Yeah. They really did.
So I think that's going to be a strong point. But boy, I tell you what, the hole on the two sides, the edge rushers, that's going to be a big. They're big shoes to fill, and I don't know if we've got the guys with the shoes to fill them.
Well, Bo, this is a great question. Look, I don't believe, and I don't think anybody else that really follows this that thinks this, like when this is all said and done this year, you go, oh boy, we got our guys for every position. Yeah. And I'm with you. And that's why I think the coaching and play calling, the patch up, let's call it a band-aid. You can band-aid and get through this season where it doesn't kill you every game. Because listen, you got a weakness on a team, every league's going to attack it.
Yeah.
Morning, noon, and night, attack it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really curious to look. Can you cover up your guys and find what they can do enough of to have some success so it doesn't kill you? And by the way, it helps everybody else as well. But both safety position, corner position, pass rushers, wide receivers. To be determined on how good everybody's going to be.
Well, look, and this is a throwing league now. You know, you look at the roster. You look at the roster, the Dolphins roster, and they've probably got four guys listed as defensive tackles right now, going to and 9 or 10 guys as edge rushers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It just shows you you need to get somebody that's going to affect that quarterback, not let him stand there, pat the ball and throw it to open receiver. You've got to have that, I think there's a symmetry in there if it's with Jeff Hafley. Okay, play that 4-man front. So maybe you only need one more pass rusher. If you can find one of those guys that can become an edge guy, which is a lot to ask. But to be a now you got teams that are running two down, two tackles, and then two guys just standing up. No one's covering up the tackles, and they're just playing out in space.
You better have guys going to stop the run on first down on the outside. I think Beggars is going to play a lot, but
you got to be able to get guys, especially if you're an edge guy, that can not only get to the pass but can see run and collapse.
Right.
And collapse now, in to become a guy that helps on the running game. If not, you got two holes on there that like the you drive a Mack truck through.
An interesting guy is going to be Biggers to see how they use him, because he's a big athletic guy on the outside, and if they can use him on early first downs, I think it would really help.
Yeah.
And listen, the unknown of unknowns for me in year three is Chop Robinson, and it's not ripping him here in the offseason. It's just. I don't know. He's got Austin Clark coaching him now, which he's excited about. A new guy that's really good with his hands and teaching him some things. And then, Bo, everybody's been all over the board about how good he's been or not good, and according to who you talk to. I want to see it, man. Yeah. I want you to look like a first-round pick.
He's a good guy. He works hard. You see
wants
him working
to be
hard.
Great.
Wants to be good. Wants to be great. But, Joe, in this league, a fast first step is only going to take you so far.
I agree.
You got to have the other tools about it, and you got to be able to move around. Sometimes I've passed rush through my whole career. You got to read guys. You got to be able to read guys when they're setting quick outside. When you're doing, and you got to diagnose. I remember going. We would go in and for the first two series, all of the defensive linemen would come back. We said, hey, what's your guy doing? My guy's setting short. Oh, my guy's setting deep.
Yeah.
Or this guy's setting this one's setting deep. My guy's setting short. And so you start to configure the games that you want to play and what they're doing. But this is going to have to be a joint deal for that defensive front, where everyone's got to talk to each other. Everyone's got to know what they're doing. And for a guy like Chop, he's got to see, is a guy setting too far back? Do you get wider to widen them out to get it to where you go? Sometimes get inside, change your stance, do different things. And I hope he can figure it out, because, look, you've invested a lot of money in him. And like I said, it's hard not to like the kid.
Yeah, no. It's not from wanting to be. Yeah. He wants to be coached up.
I know I've been hard
be
on
great.
Him. But, I'm just looking for.
But I will say to your
like
point.
That. You got to be an 8 to 10 sack guy this year.
Outside of Malik Willis, you can make an argument. I don't care who you are. Yeah. If you're watching this Dolphin thing, the second most important guy that we need to play well is Chop Robinson.
Yeah.
Year three, first round pick. You've teased us a little bit at times. We need to see it, man.
Yeah.
And look, at quarterbacks, I get to number one, but that number one pass rusher to me might be right up there at number two.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to find it. You got to find it. So I think that's where we are. And then I'm not going to give you a number of games when I know everyone asks me, and I don't tell them. And I'm looking for, which is very boring for people. They don't want to hear it.
I want to see guys getting better, and I want to see guys compete, man. I want to see it competitive. I want to be able, even when they lose, go, man, I loved our game plan. Yeah. I get it. And those guys played their ass off. They played hard. And, oh, by the way, four or five of those young guys look like they're going to be really good players. Yeah. I want to see that.
Yeah. You want to see a team that's aggressive, team that wants to play, team that wants to get better. And all those types of things.
You get all that. I think that's coming.
And again, we've kind of had teams over the last couple of years that were kind of, guys were in and out and this and that. I want to see these young guys in particular. You talk about the 13 draft choices this year, the number of rookies that came in last year, and even the year before, the Chop Robinson. I want them to grow in this franchise and become Miami Dolphins, and want to be Miami Dolphins, and want to make the team better, and want to be with their guys. So when we played, the camaraderie on the football team, the camaraderie with the will to win for our football teams, which certainly came from the head coach.
Yeah.
The camaraderie, I think, came because of the head coach, because you kind of had to bond yourself, because you had to kind of fight off the big wolf up there.
Yeah, but make no mistake about it. That I know nobody's going to be like Don Shula, but the head coaching job, he is the leader of leaders, is the head coach.
Yeah.
It's still that way.
Yeah, and you want that to say something. You want something that to resonate with these guys in the locker room. You got guys like Jordan Brooks. You got guys like Aaron Brewer. Guys like those two guys are the kind of guys that you need to find four or five more of those guys to create that nucleus that can, like these guys are saying, they don't want to draft a guy and in 2 years, oh, we're not going to re-sign. They want to draft them and they want to...
Won't have a problem where you got too many good
players. They want to grow with them and keep them here for 5 years if you can keep them here for five years.
I'll tell you one thing. Considering not a lot of guys make a lot of money, I think you got a hungry team.
You
got a hungry bunch of young guys who want to show they can play in this league.
Yeah.
You got some free agents that maybe were reserve players on other teams that realize, I got a chance to show I'm a frontline guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to show them, and I want to make some money. I want a chance to make some big money in this league. And you can't do it. And you're getting a fresh start with a brand-new GM, a brand-new head coach who goes, I don't care about the past. Show me what you can do right now. And I think you got five or six core guys, and we talk about them, you know, again, from Brewer to Brooks to Seeler. Those guys are really important going forward on their leadership
and, really
and how
important
they're
going to be. You really couldn't have three better guys in the leadership standpoint. No, not at all.
I want those guys to go to school with me every day and talk to the kids.
I don't want to have six. I don't want six captains. Give me those three guys as captains.
I knew you'd like that.
And let them lead.
I knew you'd like that. Yeah, I knew you would like that.
Hey, and speaking of that, hey, you know what? I hope you guys have been enjoying Out to Pasture. We've been doing this for, I don't know how many we're doing. We're probably about 70, 80, 80 episodes into this. This show is hard to believe.
We've been doing it for a while.
But so if you
were young when we started.
That's right. If you like this show, I'm asking you to subscribe to it. It helps us out and helps you out, and we can do some more stuff as we move along. And we always got to remember our sponsors: Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall out in Sunrise, Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, GMC. Everything you want, sales, service.
Chris Atkins, thank you.
And now they've got
service, traveling service department.
Chris has got a truck out there that's loaded with everything. Whether you got a flat tire,
I can't make
whether
it. You can need you an come oil to my change, house?
Whether your car's just not running, whatever. It's a phone call. They'll be right to you. They can do it right there. They can change tires. They can give you new tires. Do an oil service. Do whatever you need to do in your driveway. And be there.
Can you imagine you're at work and then all of a sudden you're done working and all the work's done?
Yeah.
And you're like,
so if you're down here in South Florida and you've got a car, remember this number, 754-285-7469. Put that in your phone because if you break down, give him a call. Chris will have his car or his truck on the road and get to you pronto and get you all fixed up.
Yeah, that service department too, man. Yeah. When you do need to go in, that's great. Great stuff.
Oh, and you know what, Joe? Grab my bag over there. I got a little treat here. I forgot from our guy Bobby at Villa Italia Bakery.
What do you got?
You know,
you got a coffee cake?
No.
Double chocolate?
The coffee cake
coconut?
We had. You remember the...
You got those cookies?
You remember the...
the candy.
No, you remember the...
coffee?
No, you remember the big dolphin ring.
Oh, yeah. The one you've been looking for the last 6 weeks.
I can't find it now.
Do you think about doing this? There it is.
There you go.
You're lucky. I was getting
ready
to rip
you. Hold up that one.
Okay.
Hold that one up.
Tell me about this, Bo.
Okay,
how does this work?
So
besides,
you can
this
go,
is sweet.
So,
something we never saw. 17-0.
Villa Italia Bakery, VillaItaliaBakery.com. Bobby's got the food's great. They got good. They'll get it to your doorstep.
Fresh. Coffee cakes. Off the charts.
And if you put in the code BOJO, you'll get 20% off of your whole order, and you'll get one of these. Now, if you don't want that, you might...
You're not going to Keychain.
Or if you've already got your deal, here's what I got for you now. Keychains. Let me open this thing.
Hey, by the way to be prepared. This has been great.
I know.
Anyway, you're outstanding. These things are awesome, man. They really are.
You know what? That's what happens.
17.
That's what happens. You know what? That's what happens when you've got an idiot doing a podcast like
72.
So I'm the idiot. So if you've already got that one and you don't want to double up, now you can get the keychain.
So I get the coffee cake here.
Yeah.
Double chocolate,
yeah.
Then I come
then
back
you
with
get
a
some
coconut.
Cookies or something, and you get this one. So, again, VillaItaliaBakery.com.
Nice.
BOJO, put that in the code, and you can either choose from the big. This is to put in your car, put on your door.
Nice.
This is nice and sturdy for your car, your keychain. How about that?
It's
undefeated team. You'll be the talk of the town, and you'll be the talk of Out to Pasture. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you the next time.
Thank you.